Welcome to another Tom and Matt Attack.
Welcome.
Awesome.
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 We've got an awesome show for you this week.
That sounds awesome, Tom. Tell me more about this awesome show.
Well, we're going to look at the awesome Lego Movie game.
Wow, that sounds awesome. I guess everything is awesome.
Oh, Tom and Matt Attack.
In all sincerity,
we're not just going to look at the Lego Movie game.
We're not, but it is pretty awesome. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. Should we just jump in and talk about it then?
Yeah, go on.
I guess we have got a whole 48-minute video on YouTube if you want to watch that instead, so we won't talk about it that much in depth. Pretty damn good. Really, really, really happy with it as a TT game.
Yeah, you are?
I am.
Definitely.
I was a bit in between at some point, because of the switching between characters, kind of got to me a little bit. But once I played a bit more of it, it kind of became natural. I was kind of used to just quickly double tapping, triangle, and doing things, and I kind of got into the groove of doing it.
Yeah.
And for those niggles, you know, there are amazing bits of it. Like, I would arguably say one of the best underwater levels in a game I've played in quite some time. Goes 2D, very reminiscent of Donkey Kong on the Super Nintendo. I really, really enjoyed it. And there's also bits where Unikitty does what she does in the movie, and those are hilarious.
Mm.
I shan't give spoilers away. But yeah, they're very fun segments of the game to play.
I really enjoyed what I played of it. I thought it had some great new ideas. First time seen in a Lego game, things like the building instruction, select a brick bit.
Yeah.
Which
was there something like that in Undercover? I remembered when I was editing the video earlier that they may have...
Undercover had lots of great new ideas.
Well, yeah, it definitely revolutionised the games, in my opinion.
It's just a shame
that
as many people have played it.
No, of what I've played of Marvel, to be honest, it felt like a little bit of a step backwards from Undercover. I
think what Marvel does is it takes some elements like the city and the free roaming.
Yeah, I guess you can't really strip Undercover of its parts because that's what it is. It is this open world, nice game. I mean, Marvel's obviously kind of a foot in each camp, isn't it? It's trying to be the traditional Lego Telltale game, but also trying to explore this whole idea of being an open world, kind of similar to Batman did.
This one I felt was great for people who hadn't even played any Lego games as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's got that child-friendly nature to it that a lot of them really don't. Because, I mean, they can be really, really difficult at
this
times.
This is a bit
kind
more
of
friendly,
obscure,
isn't it? I think that's safe to say that it's not as tough as some of the other ones.
I think so. And, I mean, if you look at us playing the video, it was quite late and we are playing like numpties. But I genuinely think it's a lot simplified. It's a definitely more streamlined experience than the previous games. Definitely good for kids.
A lot more action sequences.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of really nice action mechanics as well. You get to control some of the bigger characters and they get to do new things that you've never really been able to do. Even not as the Hulk, like bigger characters and that.
I think more so than any Lego game as well, this one is making use of the character switching.
Definitely.
Which you had mixed feelings about.
I did to start with, because I felt it was doing it too often, a point. Mm. But then when you kind of get towards the end and you've got the whole team from the movie and you can just quickly double tap the triangle button to switch between them, it kind of becomes okay. Yeah. I mean, you can't die anyway, so it's not that infuriating. You just lose a few studs. And I mean, I wasn't going after the gold bricks or anything anyway. I was just playing it to complete it.
I can't remember a point where you actually had so many characters, though.
A few times later on in the game where you have like six.
Yeah, which is, for me, not something I think I've experienced to that extent in a Lego game.
No, definitely not. I mean, obviously, like, usually you have things like you will have Hulk and Iron Man, for example, in the first level of Lego Marvel, and you can switch between them and then you can replay.
You know that level well because you've played it.
I do. I've played it a couple of times on various systems. And you can switch back and forth between them. But this, obviously, each character is an integral part of the story, and thus switching between them is very easy. But you can do a lot of things, which is kind of nice.
It's its own thing which is interesting as well. Like, the Lego Movie is quite far removed from how we've looked at Lego in the past.
I would say so.
Isn't it? It's a very unique kind of premise and with strong characters and a unique world. And in that, in the same respect, it's a unique movie compared to other Lego products. It's also a unique Lego game.
I think so, yeah. This, I definitely agree. I mean, it's got some nice aspects. I mean, I would say if you haven't seen the film, don't play the game until you have. Because the game does tread on the territory that follows the film's story. And while it does have cutscenes from the film, and there are taken, and they've removed all scoring and stuff, so it's just very flat dialogue just to give you the idea of the story that's going on. It doesn't give you the same essence as the film, I think. It does well if you know the film, but I think if you hadn't seen the film and weren't as familiar with it as we were when we were playing it, perhaps you would have been like, oh, what's going on? And it does skip over very big plot points, which are kind of...
It does do a good job for the most part, though, I think. And
oh, definitely. And I mean, some of the nice dialogue, like the fact that it's got dialogue that's not in the film that kind of explains bits between bits, is great.
Yeah, it's nice that the actors have recorded lots of new dialogue in there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it adds a lot to it that it's not just the same lines from the movie, even though there are one or two of the jokes are repeated just to kind of anchor it to say, hey, this is the game of this film. I think it's good. I really enjoyed it.
It didn't disappoint. For fans of the movie, I don't think you'll be disappointed with the game.
No, neither do I. I can't speak for the handheld. I don't know if it's the same premise or if it was like Lego Marvel. Maybe I'll check that out in the week and let you guys know.
That this game was developed by...
TT Fusion,
the division of TT, which tends to make the handheld games.
Yeah, so perhaps it's the same. Yeah. Who knows?
Perhaps it is the same.
Maybe. And if so, that's kind of a good thing. I will say this, we played and reviewed on the YouTube channel, the Xbox 360 version. I completed the game on the PS4. Tom, you replayed the first bits pretty much straight away, and you enjoyed them. Like, you took that much from it that you could play it straight without having to take a break.
That's true.
We skirted through it a lot quicker than we did when we played it on the Let's Play.
Yeah, it's very playable. Yeah, it's testament, I guess, to the quality of the game. I was able to do that. But really, what we were doing it for was to test the visuals.
Yeah,
compare
definitely.
Them. And yes, the PS4 version does look more shiny.
It's a damned pretty game. I saw a quote on Twitter saying it kind of looked like a Pixar movie. I wouldn't go that far, but certainly pushes the boat compared to the 360 version.
It didn't quite reach the heights of what I was expecting. I'm expecting to look just like the movie for some reason.
Yeah, well,
After hearing you give it such high praise.
It was never going to be knack, was it? It was never going to be as polished as a game that was made for that system specifically.
No, but they've done a good job polishing it up so it's all nice and shiny and everything is a lot crisper than in the Xbox version. It just has an extra sheen to it.
Could say everything is awesome.
You could say everything is awesome.
Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Moving on.
from Lego Movie. Check that one out. Even fans, if you've not seen the movie and you don't have no intention of seeing the movie, I still think if you like Lego games, you'd like this.
You're still going to get
it. I imagine if you like Lego games, you're going to see the film. Anyway,
yeah, exactly. I think it's a nice companion piece to the film, but you'll still get a lot of nice gameplay aspects from it anyway.
Yeah, so we'll put that to one side.
Yes.
For a minute, and let's talk about what you've picked up this week, Matthew.
I've picked
games-wise.
Up quite a bit, if I'm being totally honest.
Just what you've picked up in general. I picked up a mug earlier.
I'm picking up a mug right now. I'm taking a good
turd.
Slurp of tea.
Yeah.
Glengetty, don't you know?
Welsh mug.
I'm just gonna skim over. I picked up Hotline Miami, currently in the PlayStation Vita sale. I really like it, as I expected I would. I found it a bit fiddly to get used to aiming the gun and stuff with the right trigger. It seems to be on hair trigger and very responsive.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Which is something I wasn't expecting. I was expecting it to be a bit more swing to it.
It's got its own unique control scheme.
Yeah, but that's damn cool. It took me a while to get used to, but I was really enjoying it. And then my Vita died, unfortunately. Played a bit of Bribey Default as well, which I'm really enjoying. I've only got about a couple of hours left of that, so I really need to get on completing it before I start something else. interesting thing. I've had a lot of people who are 3DS users kind of message me lately and say, hey, have you seen this new Bravely Default? It seems like the general populace of people who aren't very into games, who like JRPGs, weren't aware it was released because it wasn't as covered in the gaming press as it is being now because it's been released in America. It's kind of interesting to me.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess it's the more hardcore into JRPGs anyways. And those of you out there who are in doubts about getting it, I highly recommend it. I know a few people naysay about the story and stuff, but yeah, it's a JRPG. What can you do? I picked up a copy of Bomberman Touch for the Nintendo DS. Got up a pocket Bomberman game. I haven't got one to take portably with me. The last Bomberman game,
Is it a proper Bomberman game?
It is a proper Bomberman game.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward to getting into that. I'll talk about it next week. I picked up a copy of Beat the Beat, which we've also previously mentioned on the podcast.
It's got a funny name, hasn't it?
Beat the Beat.
Beat the Beat.
I love it. Beat rhythm Beat. Rhythm game. Is it by Nintendo? It's published by them, right?
It's the same team that made Rhythm Paradise.
Yes.
So yes, I think it's an internal Nintendo team. It could be the guys who do WarioWare.
Possibly the guys who do... Yeah, actually, yes, I think it is them. Perhaps. From the top of my head, I think it is. The art style would certainly suit to the guys who did WarioWare anyways. Yeah. Yeah.
We're fans of that, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I really need to pick up the DS one. Danish deal of the week, I guess, for anyone in here in Denmark. WarioWare Touch DIY. Yeah, is in Phoners across the land for 35 kroner at the moment. So
it's a steal.
It is a steal. I really need to go and get it.
And it really, you can really make games on it.
You can.
You know, this is something really fantastic. And I remember watching a video of the guys who, I think Creativus, who were they called? The guys that made Scribblenauts.
Yeah.
Can't remember what the name of the studio, but one of the guys was showing how he'd made a game for it, and it was really unique, and it's quite a powerful tool.
Cool.
So for 35 kroner, come on.
Yeah.
And you've got a bunch of original WarioWare minigames in there as well, so there's no excuse not to pick that one up.
Cool.
If you haven't already.
I will do so. Yeah, but I paid 49 kroner for Beat the Beat. El Giganten.
Not bad. When I bought it in Denmark, which was a fair few months ago now, it was 149
Still
kroner.
The same price in GameStop. Yeah. I saw it the other day. That's where I grabbed this as a steal for 49 kroner.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go in the box, so now obviously you've got a copy, but yeah, nice to have it as part of my collection. I seem to be getting Wii games as of late. They seem to have dropped down a lot in price.
Mm.
As opposed to 360 and PS3 games. But speaking of cheap PS3 / Xbox 360 games, picked up Dead or Alive Extreme 2 for 30 kroner on the Xbox 360. Not a game I really care about. I'm going to play it more than once for a video, but I seem to be doing this at the moment, that I'm picking up games for us to record videos.
You're very into it at the minute.
I am very into it at the minute.
It's your mission.
It is my mission. I'm on a nutrition mission to nourish you with games.
I'll be interested to play it because I've not played this one, but I have played the original.
I own the original, but I never played it. I picked it up in a charity shop for like 50 pence. And I was like, okay. And then I never put it into my Xbox.
I got it for free from work, from game. It was, for some reason, our manager decided to do some hide and seek challenge.
Okay.
I think it was to motivate the staff. But if you won the hide and he'd put clues in game boxes around the store, and if you follow the clues, you might win something. Then you got to choose what you wanted from a certain price range of some games they were trying to get rid of. And I picked that up.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
And I used to play it listening to my own music on my Xbox. Quite a relaxing game.
Is it any good? I had
the original was okay. Yeah,
I had a volleyball game on the GameCube that I can't remember the name of. I just remember it had an orange and yellow cover, and that wasn't too bad. From what I remember.
Oh, you mean Beach Spikers?
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, I thought that was the name, but I didn't want to shout it out loud.
Yeah, it's a weird one, Dead or Alive Volleyball, because it doesn't feel as arcadey or as accurate as some of these. It's more of a visual thing.
Okay, yeah. I assumed so, that's why I've kind of shied
away. But it is very relaxing to play.
Yeah, and undoubtedly and one of those games that's going to become quite obscure for the 360,
maybe.
I would say.
I'd heard that Extreme 2 doesn't really develop on it that much.
No.
It's got some extra mini games like the jet ski racing, which that's not going to be that much cop.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have a look at it.
Yeah, we'll have a look. We'll let you know what
we'll
we
see
think.
See how gratuitous this is.
The channel. Speaking of games I picked up for the YouTubes as well, I bought a Phoenix Games title for you, Thomas. Because I know how much you love
he does
Phoenix
think
Games.
About me.
I do. I got you Furry Tales.
I mean, it's a throwaway and disgust. Oh, I couldn't even say that then.
You couldn't. You were so disgusted.
I
you could not utter
to throw
the word
it away in disgust. No, this could be interesting. It doesn't look as bad as some of the other Phoenix.
But like any time we've seen this one, we've kind of shuddered because we assumed it was
the furry
the
thing.
Furry
on
thing.
Further inspection, though, it appears to be more of a farmyard style game concerning sheep.
Sheep versus wolves, which perked my curiosity.
Sheep versus wolves looks a bit worms, you know, like.
It's definitely got
sheep.
Some kind of military, like, tactical gameplay thing to it, which, you know, we'll see. We'll
out of all the Phoenix games, it certainly looks like it could be of a reasonable quality.
Well, it's not actually made by them, is it? It's made by someone else, like Mod Monkey, I think the company was called. And
it's
then...
no, like, Snow White and the Seven Clever Boys.
No, it's not. Like, The Lion Prince, or whatever the hell that game is called. 175 Dalmatians. Yeah. It's not a complete rip-off, or it isn't like Downhill Salon, which is just the same game remade with seven different models. One's a snowboarding one, one's a skiing one, one's a jet skiing one, probably. Yeah. They've probably got a jet ski in there. I don't know what a jet ski's going on, snow going downhill, but it's there.
But as part of our current video boom... we're looking to do some videos on Phoenix Games.
We've picked up a lot, and nothing gives me more joy than watching Tom play Phoenix Games.
We've got to show you a quad bike
race. Oh, quad bike race is the best. Yeah, that'll be the second one.
It's our first, you know, and the most memorable.
I really want White Van Racer. Nothing piques my interest like a game about racing white vans.
True.
It's a very, very precise demographic to aim at. But I'm looking forward to playing it. And then I've picked up three apps that I wanted to mention. We're going to be doing an app sequence as well, so I won't delve too much into the game I've been probably playing the most, just because it's been on my phone and it's very addictive. Threes! It's from the guys that made Puzzle Juice, one of the designers.
Puzzle Juice?
Yeah, it's a really good app. You should check it out, yeah.
How does that work?
It's kind of like a Tetris-y thing I'll show you later.
Okay.
But that's a very good app, but Threes is great. Essentially... you combine numbers on top of other numbers in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very boring and dull, but believe me, it's actually very nice. It's really designed beautifully and has nice sound effects and stuff.
Maybe if you understand it, it's fun.
I'll show you how to play it later, Tom.
You did earlier.
Yeah, but properly.
I don't understand it.
I don't think our video is going to show it how to play properly, but we'll see. We'll see. That was good. It's $199 at the moment. I think I paid like 15 krona for it. Honestly, it's on sale at the moment. You won't regret it. I've paid a lot more for games I've played a lot less. So check it out. The second app I played, an app called Meteor Kids.
You bought this?
No, I didn't. It was free. And it's made by a 9-year-old boy called Ian Thomas.
These clever kids, like the kid that was showing you how to use iMovie earlier.
Yeah, the kid that was showing me how to use iMovie. No, but this kid made a great app with his dad. It's a very simple premise. It's just a ship that's got to avoid and collect meteors of different colours. It's very good.
So it was the kid's idea, but the dad helped him make it.
Well, the dad helped him code it, I think, but he didn't interfere with any of the gameplay aspects, he said. So it's great. Honestly, it's really, really fun. I check it out.
Wow.
You can also have a look at them on Twitter as well and tell them we sent you
kids clever
at
nowadays.
Games by Kids.
I'm just amazed by the intellect of kids. My little cousin... He's extremely clever with video games. He was showing me how to play Tomb Raider, but I was struggling with it. And he was like, blah, blah, blah. He knew exactly what to do.
Yeah. Well,
he's
just
so quick and...
I think we were the first generation of kids kind of raised in the wake of computers. Like, as I talked to you earlier, I had a computer when I was 10. And my school had Photoshop and things when I was growing up. And I'm only 2 years younger than you. But, like, I've played Bubble Bobble since I was three. Like, I've played Bubble Bobble since a very, very young age.
But for me, you know, when I was playing games, we were a lot more simplistic than what is available nowadays.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But I do remember, I say my little cousin again, when he was very young, he must have been about 3 or 4, I introduced him to Super Mario Sunshine.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I was at that age, I wouldn't really understand that whole idea of 3D movement. And
yeah.
And he did struggle with it, but he was actually playing it. And the fact that he was... The games that complex were available when he was that young.
Yeah.
It's probably put him in good stead for what's games come are coming after.
Now. Yeah, definitely.
Because I was... Everything was on a 2D plane for me. They were all side-scrolling 2D platformers, yeah, pretty much. Now it's different kettle of fish.
It's crazy. I'm sure I've talked about it a lot, but my brother was in the Naturally History Museum. The Naturally History Museum. The
Naturally History.
Naturally in the History Museum. My brother was there with my nephew, who's 10, and he was amazed because they went near the T-Rex, because my nephew loves dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And there was a 2-3-year-old child, barely walking, trying to swipe the sign with letters written on it. Mm-hmm. As if it were an iPad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
What is this world becoming, Tom? But, yeah.
I remember when touchscreens used to be something special. Like, if you saw a touchscreen in the information centre,
yeah,
you'd be right on that thing.
It's like, we talked about it before on the podcast, like when you played Metal Gear for the first time, and it's like key cards, and how futuristic that seemed, and how everyone and their uncle's got a key card to get into work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, I never dropped my key card.
You never dropped
it? Actually,
your key
card. I dropped it on the way to work the other day, but I picked it back up again.
I did, I lost
mine. Just think, if I'd have dropped it and someone would have found it, they could have got into secret door that was locked that people shouldn't get into, and then stolen those secret plans and then foiled my
schemes.
Exactly.
Yes. You are Liquid Snake after all.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's a cool game. You should check it out. Like I said, at Games by Kids on Twitter. Tell them we sent you.
Kids.
Say hello. Download it. It's fun. I was watching the Culture Show. I think it's still available tonight on Lego.
I love the Culture Show.
It was good. It was a guy talking about Lego influencing architects in the 1980s and 90s and 2000s. But there was Peter Molyneux was on it, and he was saying how Minecraft, he believes that all of the architects of tomorrow will have played Minecraft. And he was kind of saying like all these amazing...
Like Minecraft's the new Lego.
Well, no, not so much that. Version. He was just kind of saying how, like, Lego obviously influenced forms in the 80s and 90s with, like, postmodernist buildings and stuff that had very bright colours and stuff in it. He reckons that in this curve of fashion of how architecture usually goes, that maybe we'll see, like, blocky structures from kids playing Minecraft. And he was showing how communities were using Minecraft. Like, there was a community in East London using Minecraft to map out the area. And then the council had access to this Minecraft world they'd created, and like people were adding things to it they'd like to see. Mm. And then the council could respond to that by either removing it or kind of making it a permanent fixture of that place and then actually building it in real life. Mm. So it seemed kind of cool, the things people are doing with Minecraft.
You know, I bet Peter Molyneux wishes he developed Minecraft.
I bet he does.
He wishes he came up with that.
I bet he does.
He's like, darn.
He was holding... The Curiosity logo in the end made out of Lego, which made me laugh.
Oh, you remember this?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm guessing how long ago it was filmed, when 22 Kansas Curiosity was still a thing before it was revealed.
What was the prize again?
To be the god in Godus, Peter Molyneux's new god sim. But you get a cut of the profits, and it sounded very cool, and you got to work on the game and
let's
stuff.
Let's see how good that is.
Yeah, let's see how it develops. I believe it's in open beta at the moment on Steam, but I'm not sure how it is because I haven't got a PC. Boo. And then the third app I played this week, also free. The thing I can liken it to most is Proteus, the game I played in the Vita that I really liked. Developed by Radiohead, actually.
Radiohead. The band?
Yes, with a...
What?
With a marketing agency called Universal Everything, and they're set to the song Bloom from King of Limbs. But you just kind of wander around this barren landscape. I'll show it to you later. It's bizarre.
It's on the phone.
It's on the phone. It's on the iPhone. Yeah. It's kind of weird. Kind of disorientated. I didn't really know what to do, but I was very tired.
Did you say it was how much?
It's free.
Free?
Yeah, it's free.
And it's called?
Polyfauna.
Polyfauna?
Yeah, like...
I think flora and fauna.
Floral fauna, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But it's good. It's worth checking out. What have you been buying, Tom? Anything? Anything at all? Anything for your Wii U, by any chance?
Yes.
Actually, oh, really?
I picked up Mighty Switch Force Hyperdrive Edition. Hyperdrive, I think, standing for HD.
Ah!
Oh, very clever. This is the HD remake of that 3DS classic Mighty Switch Force, which I hadn't played up until now.
Neither had I. Heard good things, liked the art style, never got around to playing it.
WayForward are a great developer and they've done some great things. This is no exception. For those not familiar with the game, you're a female police officer and your goal is to go to the level re-apprehending the escaped female convicts.
Interesting.
All girl cast, apart from the creatures.
Okay.
How you do this is a mix between platform and puzzling. You have a little light on your head. When you press the shoulder button, the R1, I think, on the... I don't know if it's called R1. Just the R button on the...
Wii U gamepad.
On the gamepad. You'll then flick the switch and some blocks will disappear or they will reappear. And yeah, you've got to use this switch to your advantage to get points you couldn't get to beforehand by switching.
Interesting.
There's all sorts of different mechanisms and switches throughout the game and they get more complex and timing is of the utmost importance when negotiating some of these because you're getting some that will like throw you across the level and you've got to flick the switch to continue. It's hard to explain.
Okay.
I suggest playing it though. It was very cheap.
Yeah.
Partly because I'd already purchased BitTrip Runner 2 from the eShop on the Wii U, and Nintendo were doing a deal at the minute on certain indie games where if you previously purchased one of the indie games in the list, you can purchase any of the others at a discounted price.
Cool.
I picked up both Mighty Switch Force Hyperdrive Edition and Spin the Bottle Bumpy's Party, which I'm very looking forward to play.
Yeah.
It looks great. Lovely contemporary cute visual style. But what's interesting me the most about it is you're told to switch off your TV.
Yeah, it's just purely on the gamepad.
Yeah, purely on the gamepad with the use of Wii remotes.
Well, that's cool.
And both these games are really cheap. We're talking about £3 each.
Also by a Danish developer. The Bumpy. Yeah.
Yeah. I also, after thoroughly enjoying Mighty Switch Force and getting quite addicted to it, it's a great pick and play game.
I've seen you were actually playing it before we started the podcast, so much so that I had to tell you to turn it off.
I picked a Mighty Switch Force 2 for the 3DS.
Yeah. Which has the greatest credit music of all time, I remember
the
seeing.
Second.
It's the second, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try and complete it. But that introduces some new mechanics in there. I've not had a chance to try it yet because the eShop won't download it at the minute. What's going on there, I'm not
That's
sure.
A shame.
But yeah, I wanted a portable version of Mighty Switch Force. Might as well get the second one. It was £5. I had £4 out of the £10 credit I bought left after purchasing the other two indie games.
Yeah.
So just another 98p, and that was it.
Nice!
Nice £10, three games. Very happy. That is everything I think I bought this week.
Yeah,
£10
same for me.
On the... few indie games.
I noticed you were playing a bit of Sonic Lost Worlds earlier.
I was. I thought I'd give it another crack.
And what you told me kind of waned my enthusiasm for it even more than it already was.
Well, it's a frustrating game because it has its moments where it's really good and you can see some... There's a lot of clever ideas going on in that game. The problem being...
Yeah,
that
the birds flying every now and again.
The birds flying every now and again, though. That was my phone. The problem being is when you're on a roll and everything's like really fun and you're pelting along at a fast speed, you'll just suddenly fall off. It has been the problem with some of the 3D Sonic games, if not all. Or you'll hit a wall, or there'll be some obstacle, some enemy that you don't see coming. And yeah, it just ruins the flow of your enjoyment of the game, I find. I still say the 2D sections of the game are the best.
Yeah.
But there's some really great moments where you're hurtling in the third-person camera view really fast and jumping off springs. And, of course, the game looks lovely. You can't deny that.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty-looking game.
I saw you jumping around on a Mario Galaxy-style level earlier, and that actually looked pretty fun.
Yeah, it can be really fun, but then some horrible design choice will rear its ugly head and something you'll have to do something really frustrating.
Well, the fact that the levels were gated by the amount of enemies you'd killed, which is something I've never really associated with the Sonic, is killing lots of enemies.
I got to a point in the game where to advance, I needed to have killed so many enemies and rescued so many animals from inside the robots. So I had to go back to the previous levels and do that. And I found myself dying a few times because of irritating moments in the game.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the total of enemies you've captured and creatures you rescued doesn't reset when you die. So if you find a particular point in the game where there's a lot of enemies and you keep dying over and over again, you keep collecting those
I would
animals.
Argue that then that makes a broken game. Like, if you have to farm animals.
It feels a little bit like that. I found a level where it's like in you go through lots of honeycombs and there's some bees and there's a whole string of them and you can get like 15 enemies in a row.
Yeah.
And if you get stuck on that, which you do because that's one of those levels where if you're going so fast, you can't make your movements quick enough and you often bump into a brick wall.
Yeah.
Flat.
And sounds like a barrel of laughs.
Yeah, I'm saying all this bad stuff about the game and I don't like to because it's got so much potential in there. If they corrected some of these irritations, another one being checkpoints,
yeah.
You'll often find that the checkpoints aren't as often as you hope, and especially you expect them to come after a difficult section.
Yeah.
It's like the game doesn't know some of its bits are difficult and repetitive and annoying.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't quite appreciate the fact that you want a checkpoint after them so you don't have to replay them again.
Yeah.
And there's instances where you have to replay the same irritating sections over and over again because the checkpoints are too
far apart.
It's like they've placed the checkpoints at the worst possible point they could have done, so you have to replay the worst bit of the level over and over again.
Maybe they thought that was the novelty bit of the level or that you wouldn't mind doing. Oh, Sonic Team.
Maybe. But there's some lovely stuff. I talk about one of the 2D levels where the lights go out. You have to turn the lights back on again.
Yeah.
It's something that we've seen in platform games quite a lot recently.
It's a very popular trend.
Mario 3D World, I think, first time I saw it was in Donkey Kong Country Returns. Rayman has done it, where you control the silhouette of the character.
Yeah.
What's cool in this is Sonic can't use his homing attack when it's dark because Sonic can't see the enemies as well, so it makes perfect sense. But there's a great atmosphere to that particular level. The music's nice, and for the most part, the gameplay is enjoyable and there aren't too many irritating parts.
Yeah.
What I did find, though, when I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could play Sonic Lost World without all the irritating bits?
Yeah.
I played the demo of the 3DS version of Sonic Lost World, and actually that's what made me go back to the
really?
Wii version.
Oh, God.
Because I enjoyed it, because it seemed to be a more streamlined, enjoyable, less frustrating experience.
Oh, God, really?
And I'm really quite interested in picking it up.
Oh.
And I'd like to play through that one and just see if it...
If it does,
if
have
it is have does have these same irritating segments, because obviously it's been scaled down, it can't go quite as fast. There can't be quite as much stuff going on screen,
yeah.
So it's less confusing.
Is it a 3D game still, or is it?
It is. It's incredibly impressive on the 3DS. Actually,
okay,
it's one of the best looking 3DS games I've seen since Mario 3D Land.
Okay,
So if I find that cheap enough, I'm going to give it a crack.
I've seen it for 249 kroner, like I said to you, but I think you can pick it up on Amazon for around the same price.
Yeah, I'd like to see it get a little bit cheaper than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sonic Lost World. I'd like to say give it a go, but then half of me wants to say spare yourself the frustration. But there's so many good bits that you'd miss out on if you didn't play it.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe get the 3DS version.
Fair enough.
For me, it seems like it could be the better alternative.
Fedus, it's not the only portable Sonic you got this week, was it?
No. Matthew surprised me, came back home one evening with a copy of Sonic, what's it called? Sonic Collection?
I think so. Yeah,
Sonic Collection
like that.
Or something
like
that. And it's a compilation for the DS containing Sonic 1, 2, 3, Sonic and Knuckles, and also Knuckles and Sonic 2 as well, which is a separate game.
Yeah.
Great to have all those together. Portably, I love playing the old Sonic games over and over again. I don't seem to tire of them.
I know you do, and I know you'd end up rebuying them for your 3DS, and so at 40 kroner.
I did rebuy Sonic 1 when it appeared in 3D version.
Yeah.
I have to say, the 3D does add a lot to it. It's really, looks very cool.
Nice, fair enough.
But have them all in one place like that, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries, sorry. Yeah, that was actually a semi-Valentine's Day present, I guess, just because it was on Valentine's Day.
It was
Day.
On Valentine's Day, and Matt came back with the bouquet of flowers and the game and the bottle of wine. And
I serenaded him.
We had
him.
Dinner, and then I won't say what happened later.
Stared into his steely eyes of the man that is Tom Parry.
No. Quite different. I had a ready meal and watched Return to Oz with my friend Austin.
Yeah, and I went to my girlfriend's and got some amazing headphones and Welsh cakes. Yay!
Unfortunately, my girlfriend lives in another country.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, Tom.
She had to, unfortunately for her as well, she had to work that evening, all the evenings. So we made the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
Return to Oz, great Valentine's Day film.
Exactly.
Creepiest kids film ever.
I know, it's amazing. So yeah, it was Valentine's Day on Friday, and we made some pictures to go on the Twitter and the Facebook, and I even put some on Instagram to promote the podcast. One or two on classic Nintendo, one on the Wii, one on the PS4, one on the Xbox One, to show people you know who play games that you care about them, or to spit in the face of Valentine's Day. And a lot of people shared them and liked them and stuff, so thanks for that. But the sixth one was on Titanfall, because Titanfall's on beta now, Tom. Yay!
No. Whoopee.
Yeah. I was very excited, even though we couldn't play it, because Xbox One is not released in this country, and Microsoft still hasn't given us their free Xbox One. Come on, Microsoft, play ball. And it looks kind of cool. Some of my fears have been confirmed by watching the video on Blast Process at the moment of beta footage, that everyone's just getting killed by Titans.
Clash of the Titans.
But it kind of looks cool. I will give it that. It's the most appealing looking first person shooter I've seen in a long time.
What about that new one from Nintendo? The Steel Diver.
Steel Diver?
The methodical first person shooter.
That's actually available now for free, right?
You can try it for free. It's meant to be really slow paced.
I've heard,
I'm very
yeah.
interested to sample. It looks incredibly dull.
I'm just kind of tempted to pick up the game. Because it's quite cheap, I've seen it.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, but it looked kind of cool. Yeah, a lot of explosions, a lot of big robots running around, kind of what I like in a game. But still not that far away from COD or Battlefield, I think. It's just some interesting takes on the mechanics of it, and you can do some cooler stuff.
The proof's in the pudding.
Exactly. I can't wait until I get it in my hand. I'm hoping.
Well, will we play the 360 play version or what?
Yeah, I guess I'll pick it up for the 360. Because there is no plans, from rumours at least, to release the Xbox One in Scandinavian territories from August, maybe September. So we'll be waiting another 6 months, if it comes out here. Yeah, kind of a bit worrying, I guess, for Microsoft in the wake of the news this week that Sony are selling PS4s 2-to-1 to the Xbox One. And they're ignoring a market. I certainly saw from how many people were sharing and liking the Valentine's Day things, if that's any indication of it, that a lot of people seem to prefer the PS4. I mean, we've got one. I'm not saying otherwise because I haven't played the Xbox One, but yeah, it seems to be heavily in Sony's favour at this early stage in this gen, I guess.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I'd love to have a go on Xbox One.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, I'm not biased in any way to any console. I just kind of love games.
And yeah, so same here.
I'm open to any games. Like,
but at the moment, we're having a PS4, there doesn't feel like any real need to buy an Xbox One. Unless Titanfall on the Xbox One is a fantastic experience.
In all fairness, there's no real need to buy either one of the consoles, I would argue, at the moment.
At the moment, yes.
There's nothing
debatable
on either. I mean, Second Son's coming out next month, which I'm very looking forward to playing because it looks very good. It's also the month of Titanfall drops. I guess they will both have their first killer app, as it were. And whether or not they're any good, I guess, will kind of sway people's opinions, maybe. But it'd be very interesting to see. And, of course, the other current-gen console, Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct for the Wii U and 3DS this week.
They did some exciting announcements made there. I was particularly excited about the fact that all Bowser's little kids will be playable characters in Mario Kart.
Yeah, should be cool.
Then again, I'm very much looking forward to that game. So
I think everyone is. Like, I saw a few tweets of people who seemed very into either the Xbox One or PS4 who said, wow, new Mario Kart looks sick. Going to get a Wii U now.
Hopefully it will convince a few more people to buy the console.
I think it will. I think it'll shift a few units. I mean, it's a Mario Kart game. I think Smash will do the same.
I think Nintendo are doing a good job of keeping interest in their games. I mean, they're having to pretty much do it single-handedly, and they've announced quite a lot of good titles. There's quite a lot to look forward to. Kirby Triple Deluxe being another one I'm quite excited by. And you've got Yoshi's New Island.
Yeah, Alex Ace.
I'd buy that.
I really want that 3DS. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, it looks stunning. It's lime green with the Yoshi on the front, and then the back of it's got three little legs. It looks amazing.
Nice. But the good thing about the Nintendo Directs is it kind of gives you an idea what new gameplay elements to expect from these new games, and really good.
Yeah.
I like some of the new additions to Yoshi's Island and Kirby as well. So I can't think of a time when Nintendo were releasing so many games that I was thinking, yeah, I'll buy that. But maybe that's because now I can maybe afford them a bit better. But because maybe there's less other things around on the console to distract me. There's less third-party titles.
Yeah.
So all the interest is coming from Nintendo.
Well, it definitely is, isn't it? I mean, you know, it is a very barren environment for games at the moment, I think, anyway. But like, we've kind of touched on some of the bigger releases that are coming out in the next month or so on a previous podcast. But nothing that really interests me. I mean, like, Lightning Returns came out last Friday, which I'll eventually pick up. Next big game I'm really looking forward to be honest, is The Stick of Truth, the South Park game.
Oh, yes.
It's an RPG that kind of apparently mashes up Super Mario RPG with something like Fallout, apparently. It's supposed to be
and very
big and explorey.
In the style of the show as well.
Yes, which looks ace.
Which is quite an achievement. I'm looking forward to Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
When's that out now?
20th of February. 20th
Got
it on February. Pre-order, so...
Oh, I see. So, yeah, it should be here next week then.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. We may even be able to talk about that on the podcast.
I hope so.
Good times.
Yeah, I mean, I think also look out for the new indie titles on the Wii U. There's some coming soon, like Shovel Knight is a particular interest to me.
Oh, God, I want Shovel Knight. That looks amazing.
Yeah, and I hope Nintendo continue to embrace indies.
They should do.
Because
I mean,
think they're doing a good job so far. There's some great indie games available for the Wii U.
I think they're perhaps playing catch-up compared to Microsoft and Sony, who kind of done it for the last generation. But, you know, I mean...
Let's not forget fantastic games like Lost Winds on the Wii.
No, definitely.
It was a really good indie title.
Yeah, agreed. Cool. Yeah, I think that's about it from us then for this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to play more Mighty Switch Force, I think.
I'm going to go edit the video of Threes. Hopefully our Lego movie video hasn't been taken down by the time we upload this podcast. If not, you can check it out on our YouTube, which is youtube.com/TomAndMattAttack. You can see me and Tom playing some other great games as well on there. You can check us out on Twitter @TMAcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. And go to Stitcher, go to iTunes, go to your preferential app of podcast listening.
Ooh,
and
very nice.
Download an episode of Tom and Matt Attack. Give us a rate, give us a subscribe. No cheeky involved. Just do it. Until next week then, guys, it's been good night from me and good night from him.
Good
Game
night.
On.
Game on.